This is RJ Curcio from Curcio Law Offices. We are the proud sponsors of the Waddle & Sylvie podcast. Curcio Law is a millennial-led personal injury law firm. We are here to assist the seriously injured in need of an attorney. Call Curcio Law at 312-321-1111 for your free case consultation today. And now, enjoy Waddle & Sylvie.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears. ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie. Live from the old National Bank Studio. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Waddle and Sylvie are live from Mike and Denise's in Yorkville. Watch on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel on Twitch.
This is ESPN Chicago, the home of the Chicago White Sox.
During these playoffs, nice entry pass. Jokic and Gordon with a couple of dunks early on.
Michael Malone said at times he was indifferent about defense earlier in his career.
Nice entry pass.
And Murray able to knock it in. Three. Rebound Zeller. Knocked away. Picked up Gordon. Nice feed. And Jokic banks it in.
Brown floats it up. Way off. Porter right there with a slam. Michael Porter.
Terrific dish.
Jokic, here comes the double team. Spins away. Finds Brown. Wide open. Bruce Brown from downtown. Whips it to Porter. Porter fakes. Porter drives. Inside Jokic. Layup is good. Murray drives on Highsmith, stops, turns off one foot, shot is good. What a difficult shot from Jamal Murray.
Boy, they're really good. It was Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy yesterday on ABC, game one, handily to the Nuggets. Every time Miami sort of cut it to 10, a couple of times late they got it down like in the 9-ish range. Denver would just step on the gas, and Jokic would make a pass, play.
And the Heat didn't have a great night shooting. I saw they were 5 of 16 on wide-open looks last night in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. They shot 48% against the Celtics in the same category.
Yeah.
So their open looks weren't going down, which just exacerbated their problems.
Let's talk to Jeff Van Gundy, who was kind enough on an off day to talk to us. He joins us right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Jeff, we always appreciate your time. What do you do on an off day in Denver? Is there any like a lunch date with a Nick Friedel today?
No. Friedel, no. Just like it's a beautiful area. But yeah, not a whole lot. The 2 days in between the first two games is long. I mean, for the teams, you're in the same town and you don't play again until Sunday. That is a long time.
What'd you make of what you saw last night, Jeff? Was it a matter of the Nuggets being the better team overall, or did the Heat just not play up to the level that we've seen them play to in the postseason?
Well, I thought Denver played a really good game, particularly when you consider how much time off they had. I think Jokic obviously has a big part in that, but he and Murray, like, together, I thought just they were sharp right from the start. And I think Miami, you guys just mentioned it, like they missed some really good looks, but they were never at the basket either. I know a lot was made about the free throw differential, Miami only getting two free throws, but they really didn't try to get to the basket a lot. It was a jump shooting mindset from Miami. And they just didn't make enough. And it's hard. If Miami's not going to force some turnovers and get out in transition, and they're not going to get to the free throw line, which is what Jimmy Butler does exceptionally well, they don't do either of those two things, it's really going to be hard for them.
And Jeff, you made a comment yesterday during the game, and I think your brother had the Heat in the last series, but I've kind of seen it with Jimmy, and I'm one of Jimmy's biggest fans, that it seems to me that Jimmy's sort of on empty. I don't see the playoff Jimmy in these last few games that's really pushing things, that's dictating things. And you said, Jimmy better get going. And he was just looking to defer a little bit and pass up some looks. And like you were just saying, not force the issue, not create the contact. Do you think that Jimmy could be on empty right now?
Well, certainly they had an incredible series win, Game 7, fly immediately after, get to Denver early Tuesday morning, start the preparation, light practice, then the game, yesterday. So certainly I think he could be tired, but I think these 2 days off benefit Miami greatly in the recovery and rest and acclimation to altitude, all those things, both physical and mental. And I think Butler is such a well-conditioned athlete. He knows how to get to the free throw line. It doesn't have to be raw athleticism. I think Boston did a really good job later in the series of not biting for his shot fakes, both before he dribbles and after he dribbles. But I think, he really didn't try to get to that part of his game yesterday where he drove it deep in the paint, shot fake, step through, try to accentuate the body contact. You didn't see any of that, really. You saw a guy who, took some mid-range jumpers, took a three, had the first 5 points, I believe, but didn't really try to get to the line a lot, get to the basket a lot. And I think you'll see a rejuvenated Butler and someone who's on the attack right from the start in Game 2.
Jeff, how surprised were you with what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals, if at all, and how they all kind of played out, especially with the Celtics and how they played?
Well, I was really surprised that, when you think about it, the Bulls were up on Miami with 3 to go in the last play-in game. And that's how close Miami was to not make it. So for them to go from losing to Atlanta at home, nearly losing to Chicago at home, to beating Milwaukee the way they did, and I know, hey, listen, the Antetokounmpo injury was significant. But even considering that, they just thoroughly outplayed Milwaukee. And I think it put them on this path towards, belief. Hero went out, so their rotation was solidified. Guys got more opportunities. And really, I got to say that them winning that seventh game on the road in Boston after the heartbreaking Game 6 defeat was one of the great games I think you'll ever see a team play. How they just regrouped and gathered themselves, tremendous.
Yeah, I agree. If you were coaching or you were sitting in a front office and you had two players on the board, and I've been asking basketball guys this all week, and one player was Jaylen Brown and the other player was Zach LaVine, which player would you take for your team?
And the only thing I hate about those questions is while you may be trying to praise one, the other one somehow gets diminished. And I wouldn't want to diminish either player. I think LaVine has more playmaking ability. He's like a different position, like point two guard type of combination, where Jaylen Brown to me is a more of a 3-4. And if I was Boston, and I know the immediacy of a bad result brings about an emotional response, but there's no way I'm not keeping Jaylen Brown. I do not want to overreact to a bad last game and make a mistake that could set me back talent-wise for a long time.
What is the meaning?
Wait. You didn't answer the question.
Exactly.
That's not fair.
So you're still not going to answer the question? Okay.
No, I'm not. I don't like this. Because I also have to know what team you're talking about. I think Zach LaVine is a phenomenal scorer, and I think Jaylen Brown's probably not as good off the dribble, like change of directions and all that, but is maybe a more advanced defender. So I think a little bit of it comes back to what team you have and what team you're surrounding them with. And the one thing I would say on all of that is, on most of these really hard decisions, or that these players are pretty equal, if you had first pick and you picked whoever, I'd be fine with the other guy.
One reason why I do ask you is because you know, Boston's faced with a decision like the Bulls had last year. And when we're looking at this as Bulls fans, we're trying to think how the Bulls can eventually get back to winning and advancing and winning series. And it's been far too long that you've been in our building for a playoff game doing these things. And, you know, they decided to max Zach a year ago, and he had a good last couple of months. But what we want to know as Bulls fans, Jeff, is can Zach lead a team through multiple rounds of a postseason like Jimmy Butler has for the Miami Heat? So, like, I guess a direct question would be, are the Bulls better off going forward with Zach or without Zach?
Well, I don't think it's just a question of LaVine, though. I think it's a Vucevic signing. It's do you keep DeRozan as well? What's the direction of your team? Because what you've seen is a team that is sort of stuck right now, the way they're composed. From the Lonzo Ball injury two Januaries ago to now, you're just stuck right now. I mean, I think people acknowledge it, but I don't think they acknowledge it like they should. Like, this type of career-ending injury, possibly, the Bulls were in first place and playing excellent basketball and had an identity. He brought so many things to their team, volume three-point shooting, a long defender, more size, and a pass-first mentality. Like, to me, if they could have been in first place with that team for as long as they were, then you'd have to consider that LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic, they could have all been considered good moves. But with that injury, does that change your course and your direction? I think it may. I think they may have to say, like, we're stuck in this middle of the pack. How do we get out of it? Do we sign Vucevic? Do we bypass that and try to just patch it together at the center spot and then see what we, you know, how the season starts or you know, who needs a DeRozan or a LaVine? I think these are really challenging decisions from a team-building spot, but also from a business aspect. You guys do have a great building, and it's alive, and the fans know basketball, and they're into it, right? But they don't want to go back to, like, another long rebuild, and yet that may well be on the table. I just don't know their thought process.
Well, I'm based on you know, what you just said, Jeff, if they asked you to advise them, what would you suggest to them? What would be the path that they should choose?
Yeah. That's tough because I think the tearing down of a team is such a, you know, initial awful business decision because you're going to strip people of any enthusiasm and you're going to only be able to sell hope. There may be a middle ground, too, where you keep, you know, one of DeRozan or LaVine and maybe trade the other. I don't know. But those guys, like, the age is now starting not to show on DeRozan. It's not that. He's still an outstanding player. But you don't want to be late if you decide that you do rebuild. You don't want to wait another year and then come to a conclusion that maybe should have been made earlier. So I don't know if I would be a good advisor because I'm just never really for the teardown, but it'll be interesting from my vantage point how they proceed because these are the tough, tough decisions that Arturas Kanishevas has to make because, you know, to sign Vucevic or not, you know, do you find a point guard or are you content with playing, you know, sort of through LaVine and DeRozan and not really having a true point now that Ball, you know, has been injured for this long. So it's a challenge for that roster no matter which way you go.
Jeff, back to the NBA Finals and the Denver Nuggets. How do you describe what we've seen from Joker over the last, not just this year, but the player he is and how he goes about the game? How do you kind of define who he is in context of the game and those that have gone before him?
His whole mentality of sacrificing for others and bypassing opportunities that are good for him to try to get other people even better opportunity. That servant-type leadership, to me, is just so unusual that, and you combine with his great skill. So his mentality, his skill level, it's just a great combination to build a winning basketball team. These guys don't come around often. You know, you have some guys who are really unselfish and some guys who are ultra-talented and skilled, but morphing those two together to be this great leader and tone setter for their entire organization as a giving organization, it's just incredible to watch. And he's like a quarterback who never makes a bad read. It's just the right play over and over again, regardless of if it leads to a made shot or not. You know, it's not like it's a guarantee of, you know, winning all the time or, you know, scoring all the time, but they know that if they move, they cut, they run, he's going to give them the ball, and he's going to do the second most unselfish act on offense too, besides passing. He's going to screen. This guy's a good screener, so he's always trying to help his teammates get good opportunities, and I think that's why the people they've assembled then commit to the defensive end of the floor as well.
See, he's so good. You and your brother are really good. You know, Waddle just played golf with Jim Harbaugh. Him and his brother, John, have a huge rivalry, as we know, as football coaches. I'm sure you and your brother had a big rivalry as basketball players and coaches. Do you guys have a rivalry as broadcasters? Like, would you text him while he's doing the Eastern Conference Finals, and does he text you in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, but no rivalry. I mean, just observations. That's it. Like, no rivalry. You're not competing in broadcasting. When you coach or you play, you're certainly competing. Broadcasting, first of all, there's no score kept. You know, whoever people like or dislike, it's, you know, individual preferences. So, yeah, I'm really happy that he likes who he works with. I love who I work with. You know, we're both the luckiest dudes in the world, so we got no complaints.
See, I scored it, though, a win for you when you went after LeBron for flopping. So I think you won.
Well, I'm just anti the embellishment. I know the league office thinks I talk about it too much, and maybe I do, but I think it's a blight on our sport. And no matter who does it, I feel like one of the things that I want to do is point out when I think it's exaggerating the contact, and sometimes I think it's really unbecoming, and I think it turns what's a difficult sport to officiate into next to impossible.
Jeff, did you ever think you'd see the day when a coach was making $13 million a year?
No, but I couldn't be more ecstatic for Monty Williams and all coaches that hopefully benefit from his contract. I just really happy for him. You know, he's had, I thought, I didn't understand his firing in Phoenix, so that Detroit came in so hard and with such a great contract. I was really happy for Monty, because I don't know if you guys know him well, but he is really one of the class acts. Yeah. I was able to coach him as an assistant with the Knicks, and then to follow him and watch his coaching career has really been fun for me, and he's just one of those guys you root for.
Speaking of the Knicks, I said this to Waddle about a week or two ago. I believe Pat Riley is the best front man, coach, executive of any sport in the history of sports. And I'm talking over Red Auerbach. I'm talking over Theo Epstein, Scotty Bowman. Maybe I'm caught in the moment. Would you agree with me?
Well, his excellence can't be debated. Like, you know, you can debate best, but the excellence that he has helped Miami achieve over a long period of time, it's not debatable. And to me, what he's done so well, I don't think he really picks the players anymore. You know, that's not really, like, it's more of an overseer type role where he's got a lot of people that work for, you know, work for him and work under him. But I think what he establishes is this great tone of that they're going to be a hard-playing, driven team. And I think even – I think he's in his late 70s, I would think now. I think that resonates, and he supports his coach. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, Joe Mazzulla, right? Like, Joe Mazzulla now is taking, like, these, to me, unwarranted shots and job security questions. And I reflected back on when Eric Spoelstra was in his third year and the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh era started. I think they were 9-8 to start that first year with those three. And there were these questions about, you know, was Eric Spoelstra going to be able to survive? And, like, Pat Riley wasn't playing with that. He just like, nah, this is just, this is our coach. He's a great coach. Get used to it. And I think his support in the ups and downs, you know, they've had some non-playoff years, but there's never this overreaction to wanting to make a coaching change like you see so many teams embark on. And then people always say we want to emulate Miami and San Antonio, but they forget the basic premise of it, which is continuity is such a great component to sustain success. And they bail on their plans so early, so often, that it makes it hard for any type of overwhelming success in a year-in, year-out manner.
Jeff, and finally, the most important question of the day before we let you go, were you happy with the Texans draft?
You know, I don't know. You guys got one? I just don't know Ohio State quarterbacks. Like, I just don't know. And I hope I'm, like, I hope my fears are unfounded and this guy comes out, wins the job, and is slinging it. And I hope Will Anderson is one of the greatest pass rushers known to man. And yet, we'll see. That's all I come back to. We'll see. I don't get fired up about a draft until I actually see results. Because, quite frankly, I had never really known anything about J.J. Watt. And they picked him 11th, and he became one of these, you know, all-time great defensive players. And, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to evaluate. I hope we got it right.
Yeah. We appreciate you taking the time, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go. Jeff Van Gundy joining us from Denver. In between the games again.
A couple days off.
Sunday, right. They don't want to do that on a Saturday night. They want to wait till Sunday for that.
Did you ever think that the Heat were coming back in that game last night?
No, I had the Heat with 8.5.
Okay, so you were.
So I was hoping for that backdoor cover at the end of the game. Yeah. With 2 minutes left.
Spoelstra took the guys out, I thought. Maybe a little prematurely, no?
There was hope with 2 minutes left. I thought I had it.
Yeah.
I thought, or at least a chance, but then.
There's no doubt the Nuggets are the better team. That doesn't mean they're going to win.
They're so good.
They're physical.
And Jamal Murray is so good.
He is so good. He is silky smooth.
Yes. And he's not a well-kept secret. He shouldn't be a secret based on what he did back in the bubble, if you were paying attention.
Listen, I read you his playoff stats. You know, there's three different seasons where he's established himself. He's like 27 points per game, shooting over 40% from the arc in the postseason. He's really, as great a player as he is in the regular season, he's really defined himself in the postseason as well.
And then what Jokic does is like he's like a big Larry Bird, isn't he? The way he does stuff, the way he shoots, the way he passes, the way he backs guys down. He's like a gigantic version of Larry Bird.
Yes.
It's incredible.
It's fun to watch. Yeah. It's fun to watch him play.
All right, coming up next, what would you pay a massive amount of money for? Like, I'm not just talking about a concert or a sporting event. Like, you know, in the wake of all this Taylor Swift hoopla going on, everyone's been asking this question. We asked it to Jed earlier, and we will have that conversation coming up next.
The new Ice Shaker, created by the Gronk brothers, as seen on Shark Tank, is available at iceshaker.com. It's the best bottle for the hot Chicago summer, as well as sport and fitness fans. Over 1 million bottles have already been sold. Customize your own at iceshaker.com. That's iceshaker.com. These state-of-the-art shaker bottles are stainless steel, which means no odors like you get with the plastic bottles. They have a patented twist-in agitator that breaks up the powder silently. That's right, no annoying ball noise. Find the right style and size for you at iceshaker.com.
It's Miller time in Yorkville, and Mike and Denise's celebrating the White Sox with a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast on ESPN Chicago.
The home of the Chicago White Sox.
People here at Mike and Denise is still coming in, having a great time.
Yes, the weekend is here.
Still talking about the Naperville story, too.
Yes, we've had a couple of people that live in Naperville that have come up and they're a bit excited about the news.
They're like, ooh, Naperville. So in case you're just getting into your car, the Bears did come out with an official statement saying that Kevin Warren met with the new mayor of Naperville today, and they are not singularly focused on Arlington Heights anymore. And they're saying that they are open to other municipalities. And we believe this is a negotiation tactic to
yes.
try to help with the tax.
What we do well is we crush dreams. And a couple of the people that were excited about the Bears maybe possibly going to Naperville, we've crushed those dreams because we don't believe that's happened.
But remember, when you open negotiations with a secondary person or entity, what do they always say? If you're going to start negotiations, even if you're using it as leverage, you always have to be prepared to go there. You may think you're starting it off as leverage, but if you're really being serious about using them as leverage, like, you've got to be serious about that possibility. Or else you're or else Arlington Heights knows you're just using them as leverage.
Well, I don't think that Arlington Heights thinks they're being serious. So that's probably they're going to get pushback from them.
So that's why, like, a lot of times you have to be willing to force the issue. So, again, I told you Kevin Warren's history. That I forget the suburb. I don't know if it was Blaine, Minnesota. There was some suburb. They were originally focused on building a new stadium in. They elected to bypass that, and Kevin Warren steered them back to a better deal in Minneapolis.
I wonder whether or not the Vikings had already spent money on the existing, or if it was just a plan that had not yet been put into place. Because the Bears do have a $197 million yeah. investment in the property they bought from Churchill Downs
sure.
In Arlington Heights.
Don't you think they could, like, I'm playing devil's advocate with you here. I know they can't get it all back in a sale. They wouldn't make it back because of what they paid. But with tax breaks that they could make up, if Naperville would give them a better deal and what they could get in a sale, couldn't they make up the difference that way?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting. I don't know.
In a multi-billion-dollar deal,
are they giving the Bears the property? In
no, I don't. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I mean, but I'm. Aren't there ways they can make this up?
To Sylvie's point, though, I think that's all worth the negotiation, right?
Waddle, sure.
Like, sure, they wouldn't give it to them, but they could make the price so lucrative, especially if you're Naperville. You're going to have to come in here and make it very appealing. So I think a lot of things are on the table, considering you have to wonder what Naperville's motives are going to be, right? Like,
right.
how lucrative are they going to make it for the Bears? They may make it something worth thinking about.
Well, I got an idea. If not Naperville, why not Aurora? Why not Mundelein?
Well, they said...
How about Lake Forest? Come on, let's go. If we're going to open the bidding up again, let's go.
That's what they said. They're open to municipalities.
Let's go, then. Why have we not been negotiating with other towns in the meantime, then?
On the other side of things, as I was playing devil's advocate, and I'm using history to, like, I gave you the history of Kevin Warren. The history of the Chicago Bears is they have had their eyes on Arlington Heights for decades.
Yes.
This goes back to George Halas wanting to go there for decades. This has been years and years and years where it never just lined up for them. He wanted to build the stadium there decades ago. So this isn't just something that all of a sudden they're going like, oh, what about Arlington Heights? That family had wanted to play and build the stadium in Arlington Heights for many, many, many years.
I would think, too, that, I mean, look, I don't think revisiting the Soldier Field proposal is worth anybody's time.
No, no.
But that one may be more financially advantageous than what Naperville is bringing to your table.
We also don't know now with the new mayor what the new plan, what if that plan's on the table or
well,
what.
Right. I mean, the new mayor of Naperville, it's I mean, it
no, I'm talking about Chicago.
Well, that's
that's what I'm talking about. I don't even know what Chicago would even be willing to offer.
Well, that's true. But I'm going back to Naperville with the new mayor there. It sounds good. Sounds like a really good political conversation as well to get people to support you. Hey, we're bringing the Bears to town. Hey, I'm proactive. We're trying to bring revenue into the city. How likely it is that they could execute that plan and what the numbers attached to it. It's so early in anything. Look, I don't think the Bears are doing anything wrong here. I think they're actually using their leverage and using it appropriately, something they haven't done for years. But at the end of the day,
they're on Tinder right now. They're swiping.
They're on Tinder.
They're on Stadium Tinder. This is Stadium Tinder, and they're swiping.
Well, they've got $197 million invested in one relationship, so okay. This Tinder better be hot.
Yeah.
Better be hot Tinder.
Yeah, they're swiping right now. They're not committed. There may be a committed.
Yeah, they are committed.
They're committed financially.
Right.
They haven't dated long enough that they're.
Listen, this franchise is married to their financials, and you know that. So there's no, you know, getting out outside.
Build a water park there. Bears Water Park.
Yeah, okay.
We just packed a water park. What else can you build there?
This is not a franchise that strays from their financials.
Build Taylor Swift land.
They're married to their financials.
What else can you build there?
I don't know, but probably not something they'd be interested in. I think this is, again, it's another good sign. It's not a bad sign. It's a sign that business is being done differently now. And, look, I think that if we knew the details of the Arlington Heights situation, we'd probably come to the same conclusion in that you know, what they have proposed in terms of property tax payments is not really fair and equitable at this time.
Speaking of the Taylor Swift show, I'm sure that place is jam-packed right now. Oh, my goodness, what that place probably looks like. What that exit ramp looks like right now off of Lakeshore Drive, trying to get off at 18th Street with all the Swifties trying to get in, what the lines look like trying to get in, like the four doors that go into Soldier Field. There are like four entrances into Soldier Field right now trying to get in.
I park in the parking lot at the old Rock and Roll McDonald's and walk.
It's like a 4 mile walk.
I'd walk.
So a lot of topics have been on the station. Hoodie and Cap were talking about it. Jesse and I were thrown around this yesterday in the pre-show fist fight. Meller and Tyler were discussing this about like things in the past that now that they would say that yes, I would go back in time and pay for this. I would ask you now. Anything, like any experience, doesn't have to be a show or a sporting event. Because to me, now that I saw the Cubs, there's not a sporting event that I would pay an excessive amount of money. I would not do. I think the Bears in the last Super Bowl is a good lesson for everybody. A, the result can go poorly. B, you could sit out in the rain and you can catch pneumonia like a lot of people did on that day. Like, there's a lot that could go wrong, and you could, at a concert, at least, you know you're going to get your money's worth from Taylor Swift. You know that's a known thing. At a sporting event, there's a lot that could go wrong.
The first thought that came to my mind, and it's something that I have experienced, and fortunately, it didn't cost me anything because my friend had a connection, but going to Augusta is something that, in the manner in which I was able to experience it at Berkman's Place, I didn't stay for the final round because I had to get back. But if you could go to the weekend, Saturday and Sunday rounds at Augusta, and do it like in the most upscale of ways, That's something that I probably would consider spending the money
on. You pay $10,000 to play Augusta?
No.
What would you pay?
I'd probably pay, how much would I pay to play Augusta? I don't know. I mean,
like, those are the fun things that I think, like, the
not unique, $10,000.
The unique
2000?
Experiences.
How about 2000?
Okay, well, that's not even, some people are paying
that's
more
not getting,
to go to
it.
Taylor Swift.
I get it. But like
Danny and I were thrown around sitting, like, for a couple hours with one of your favorite athletes, whether it be Michael Jordan, and smoking cigars and drinking scotch.
Yeah, be careful. You may come away disappointed in the experience.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not saying specifically with Michael. I'm just saying, as you've said 1,000 times, you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know these guys.
Right.
Or gals. You don't know who they are, really, behind closed doors. But I don't know. I've never really given it a ton of thought. Because I've never really thought about spending a huge amount of money on something like that. I'd rather take a trip with my family to Hawaii.
Yes, like some of the priceless experiences are the, like, eventually with something on my bucket list is I want to stay in one of those hotel rooms over the water.
Oh, and one of the like
that
the,
that
the
I'd islands. Rather pay thousands of dollars for that than any sort of show.
You know what? In my luck, I'd go out there and a hurricane would come to town. Like, that's my kind of luck. Hey, you know what?
The Carolina Hurricanes?
Well, I'm not. No, not the Carolina Hurricanes. But those, I mean.
Well, you are a hockey guy now.
They make those destinations look very, very appealing. They do.
They do.
Yes.
Someone
once
told.
They've got their own swimming pools.
Yes.
As well as, yeah.
Someone says after a few hours, you kind of get bored, though. You're like, okay, now what?
Yeah, let's go
play
pickleball.
And there's nowhere to go.
Right. You're stuck out there.
But, those are the types of things.
I would say, for me, it would be traveling. It would be going back to Italy or something like that. It wouldn't be sports related.
Like, I got to fly in the Blue Angels. Like, I would pay money to do that again.
No chance I wouldn't do that.
Like, unique experiences like that. Things that you can't, like, going to space. I would do that.
Not doing
what
that
William
either.
Shatner got to do.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
I would do that before I would pay $8,000 to go see a concert.
You'd pay $8,000 to go up in a rocket for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Really?
Over going to see a concert? To be weightless?
You want to be weightless?
Wouldn't that be cool?
You can do that. You can do that in Schaumburg or in Rosemont.
Well, that's like a...
Yeah, that doesn't cost $8,000.
That's like a blower. They're blowing you up there.
What? It's like, what are they doing? Right, you'd pay $8,000 for that, wouldn't you? Yeah.
It's usually $350, isn't it?
Don't know. Sounds like you're the expert.
But I bet
if you're doing that in space, it's probably a premium, right?
That's a simulation of skydiving. That's not a simulation of weightlessness.
Well, same thing.
No, it's not.
Close enough for the difference in price. It's close enough. Not paying $8,000 to go up in a rocket.
I would pay money to have the run of Great America to myself. Like a golf cart, nobody there, and unlimited roller coaster rides wherever you want to go.
Wouldn't that get old after
a
while now?
No.
You're 52 years old.
That would be great. Rent out Great America for the day or Cedar Point. Give me something. I'm giving you a million things.
I said I'd go. I travel. I'd go to Rome or somewhere. I'm not renting out Cedar Park.
Cedar Point.
Whatever.
What about, like, one of your favorite country stars?
I saw not Chris Stapleton.
About a show at your house? What if he said to you, I will come to your house for $50,000 and play an acoustic set?
How about I keep the $50,000 and I'll put his CD on? How about that? Does that sound more, you know, and maybe be able to send my daughter to college without, you know, straining? Is that a better plan?
You've spent money on worse things than that.
I have not spent $50,000 on something worse than that. Look, these are things that I just wouldn't spend cash on. I wouldn't. I'm telling you the best experience that I hate to say it because it was Cubs related. I think the most thrilling thing I've ever been to was Game 7 of the World Series.
Yes.
In the manner
that's
in which
what I mean.
All
like,
unfolded.
I don't think anything could top that.
But going to Augusta was truly, and experiencing it the way I did, the golf fan that I am, That, to me, was a bucket list item that it exceeded my expectations.
How much would you pay? I got one for you coming up next, okay? What do we have coming up? Is Black and Abdallah in tonight? They were
Meller.
In today.
Meller,
you're doing the show next, all right?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw – I think I may have you with something.
Okay.
I may get Waddle to pay an excessive amount of money for this. We'll see if he bites next.
Meller fills in as host.
Are you with us at Mike and Denise's in Yorkville? Yes, it is indeed Meller time.
Meller Tar.
You can watch the show on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Or keep listening to the ESPN Chicago Triple Play.
AM, FM, and app.
All right, how about this?
All right, what?
Augusta with Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd do that.
How much would you spend for that?
$10,000.
I think it's going for more than
okay,
that.
Okay, well, I'm not paying it.
15?
Okay, I'll give you 15.
What about 20?
Nope. 15's enough.
What about 17.5?
Nope, 15.
Got to go 17.5 or we're going to Naperville.
Well, good luck.
17.5.
Nope, 15.
Okay, you lose.
Isn't 20 like a low-grade used car, if you want to put it that way?
Yeah.
Is it better or more memorable to go to the Masters with Tiger or to have
buy a car?
A 2001 Civic?
It's a good question. I'd rather have the vehicle. I've got four kids. They all have to drive cars. I think that's about the price for the last used car I purchased.
So you could have golfed with Tiger at the Masters instead.
Or my daughter could have had the same car she drove for 3 years.
But Waddle, yeah. You are not only playing the Master. You're not only playing Augusta. You're playing with the greatest golfer of all time. You can ask him anything.
Who am I giving the money to? Is it going to charity?
Yes, of course.
Okay, then I can write it off. Then there's a tax.
Now what are you up to? Okay.
Okay, I'll give you 20 for that.
How much are you allowed to write off on that? What are the rules there? What are
the stipulations? I'm not sure. It's going to charity, dollar for dollar, buddy.
Is that how
it works? I'm writing it all off.
Is that how it works?
That's how it's working for me. Played golf with Tiger Woods, minus 20,000.
So, okay. See, I knew I'd get it. Meller, what would you spend, like, an excessive amount of your fantasy football money that you
weekend,
stole from us.
A weekend at Padres ballpark to watch the Padres play twice.
Man, I don't know. It's weird because I think this is where TV and HD television has made it. You can see everything at home nowadays. So I'm not compelled to spend lavish amounts of money. But I will say, the older I get, the more I'm into spending money on experiences. I do think, you know, finding things that you will remember for the rest of your life, whether it's with your family or whatever, I'm more inclined to spend money on those type of things than just actual tangible goods around the house. So, I don't know. I right now in sports, I don't know what I'm really looking to spend big money on.
Any experience, what would be like the most appealing experience for you?
I think for me, I'd go to Europe and see Liverpool play in some type of Champions League final match. Which I could have done recently in the last 2 years ago, but I decided not to do it. So even though I'm saying I would do it, I wouldn't do it because I had the opportunity to go to Paris, France last
May. How much
was
it going to cost?
It was going to be 15, 20K.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't?
No.
You were just talking about going to Rome, though.
Yeah, I would do that, but I'm not to go to Rome to watch a, you know,
but that's
whatever
like,
the Roman.
But you're there and you could see everything, and then you catch the
well,
game.
That's different. Yeah, I mean, I'm asking how much it costs to go to the game.
Oh, no, how much would it? He's not talking about the game would cost that much.
Yeah, no, I was rolling it all into one, like the travel expenses and getting a ticket.
But you're not going there just to watch the game. You're going there for the experience.
Yeah.
That's just an added piece to the puzzle.
Yes, like going like, when people are going to see the Cubs and Cardinals
in London
this summer in London. And, like, that's just an added. Oh, don't. I know. You're
really
going to make fun of that.
Really?
The Bears
but
in Germany.
Really? The fourth and fifth place team in the NL Central? You're going to spend money to go watch those two hacks play?
Would you rather go to Iowa to see the Cubs and Reds play,
yes,
or go to England to see the Cubs and Cardinals play?
Well, I'd rather go to England because I could do some other sightseeing things. Yeah.
London. I've never been to London.
How much would you pay to see the Bears play the Chiefs in Germany?
Nothing. I mean, I'm like, no.
I'm more interested in seeing them in Kansas City.
I'd rather go to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I played in Germany, so I can say I've been there.
All right, Mellor, what do you got coming up?
Yeah, lots on the Bears, obviously, with this Naperville positioning that they're doing. A little bit on Jalen Johnson. And, of course, let folks hear from Jed Hoyer, who joined you guys earlier today in case they missed it.
Yeah, it was interesting. Good stuff there. If you missed the interview, you can get it on the ESPN Chicago app. It's all there for you. I'll retweet the podcast. Thank you to everyone at Mike and Denise's. Everyone was awesome. Thank you to Miller Lite. And thank you to Jed Hoyer. And also Jeff Van Gundy. Eric Ostrowski did a good job. Our entire marketing team here did a fantastic job. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.